Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
So I entitled this message, "Behold, I Will Do a New Thing." That's out of Isaiah 43:19. The New King James, it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" And verse 21 says, "This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise." So the Lord's going to do a new thing. We'll declare his praise in the day. We declare his praises in the night. And all through the night, we declare his praises. And wow, 2017 is upon us, huh? It's always interesting when the year changes. And instead of a New Year's resolution, let's do a New Year's refreshing this year. How's that? Does that sound good? See, because a resolution, it comes from our own strength, something we resolve to do. We're going to do it in our own strength, in our own power. It's something that we determine to do. And most resolutions are set up for failure. Sometimes people make them too lofty, or maybe sometimes they're not even attainable. Or sometimes they're just not really realistic, or we just don't really want to do it, so they don't last very long. But Nancy and I were very successful at one resolution that we made, New Year's resolution. It was January 1st, 1986, because in the 1985 along the journey, we both got saved. We decided that New Year's Day, we were going to go to a church, and we were going to be part of a church, and we were going to grow in a church, and we were going to do that church thing. So, as young believers, and so that's the one that we kept for all the way from 1986. So we're still in that resolution. So we've still kept that resolution. So, but the definition of refreshing is pleasingly new or different, and the refresh is to renew, to revive, or to replenish. And refresh also means to stimulate new supplies. And in Acts 3:19. In the New American Standard, it says, "Therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." You know, we can stay on that verse for a long time. It's, you know, it says repent and return. You know, it's hard to have times of refreshing if we carry stuff, if we have sin patterns and stuff that we've not given to the Lord and things that we're not doing in obedience to the Lord. It's really hard to be in that place of refreshing. So he says, "Repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So let's go into 2017 going to 2017 having made things right with the Lord so that times of refreshing can come, huh? So to be able to you know, not so much about New Year's resolutions, but what are the things in your heart that you don't want to carry into the new year? What are the things that you don't want to continue to do, or any struggles, or what are the things that we really want to change and we really want the Lord to show up in? What are the things that we really want the Lord to break through in, you know, to break in our lives? What are the things that we really want the Lord to show up in? Those are the things that we want in 2017. In Jeremiah 31:25, it says, "I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint." You know, a lot of times, man, we're just weary. A lot of times I run into people in the body of Christ and we're just weary. People love the Lord and they love to serve the Lord, but they're out of zeal. They're just out of passion. They're exhausted and they're weary. And they're weary of church stuff and this and that and battles and finances and health and stuff. And it's hard to press through all this stuff, and it just weighs on us. But I'm thankful. This is the Lord. He says, "I will refresh the weary." Because a lot of times we're trying to find a way to refresh ourselves. And it's the Lord who's going to refresh us. In Philemon 1:20, it says, "Refresh my heart in Christ." You know, and that's to refresh our heart. You know, the heart is the seat of our emotions. Put your heart into it. Love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. So, you know, the heart is the seat of our emotions. So refresh my heart in Christ. So he says, behold, I will do a new thing. So is this the time for a refreshing from the Lord? You know, I always love to go to the old Webster's Dictionary. And the one I use a lot is from 1970. And it's still a little bit sanctified. There's still some Christian terms in there. But the definition of new really surprised me today out of there. It says, doing something for the first time. New is also something that's unfamiliar to you. New is also a fresh beginning. It's something that's not yet familiar. New is also making another start. But then this one really took me by surprise. Definition is to be refreshed in spirit and health, to be a new man. The Webster's Dictionary, to be refreshed in spirit and in health. And I thought, man, how many of us need that going into this year to be refreshed in spirit? How many of you just be refreshed in your health, right? Just to be refreshed in health, but refreshed in our spirit, you know, to be encouraged by the Lord, to be encouraged. Even in circumstances are tough around us, if we're refreshed in spirit, we don't get taken in by the circumstances. We're able to thrive even in the midst of them, no matter what's going on, if we're refreshed in spirit. So I'm really going to hold on to that definition for this year, to be refreshed in spirit and health and to be a new man. So what new thing is the Lord wanting to do in your life this year? To be refreshed in spirit and health? The Lord is the Lord of the new, you know, and I just really love doing a search, a word search, and just really studying that. And I've always been fascinated by the things that he does that are new. It's part of his nature. So throughout the word, there's so many things that he does that are new. So I pulled out some today that I felt just kind of go together and to be able to give us a glimpse of the Lord's heart for the new thing, that's part of his nature. So I want us to look at Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. In the New King James, it says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. You know, for his mercies and his compassions to fail not and for them to be new every day, we as Christians, we need to tap into that. You know, I'm really thankful that his mercies are new every day, his compassion, and they fail not. You know, it's something that we need to really hold on to and to look into and be able to find strength in that he does that for us. There's a verse also that says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. There was a time when Nancy and I went to, I think it was Harvest Retreat Center down in Brazil, Indiana. And they had a cat named Shirley and two dogs named Goodness and Mercy. Isn't that great? And Goodness and Mercy followed you. But Goodness was getting treated for heartworm while we were there. But just Mercy was hanging out with us. Isn't that funny to say that? I thought they were beautiful, big black labs. And they had like these little cabins off the way. About 100 yards from our A-frame cabin was this A-frame prayer house. It was on the lake. And it didn't have a bathroom or anything, so you could just stay in there for a while and hang out in there. And I didn't see Mercy anywhere. I came out of my cabin, heading over to the prayer house, and all of a sudden there she was. She walked with me, and she sat outside the prayer house and waited the whole time I was in there. Then when I got ready to leave, she got up and she was walking with me. All of a sudden, we're about halfway to my cabin, and her fur came up, and she was growling. And I thought, uh-oh, somebody's not going to have too much mercy here. But she, there was a wild pack of dogs, and it's like she nudged me. She ran after them, scared them off, and then came back to me, and I had my hand down, and she like nudged my hand, like it was okay to walk again. And she walked me to my cabin. And so that verse has always meant a whole lot different to me than surely goodness and mercy will follow you. And so that was really an interesting thing with mercy. The next new thing I want to talk about is a new birth. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, in the NIV says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, so here's the mercy again. In his great mercy that's renewed every day, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, foil, or fade. Spoiler fade, kept in heaven for you. You know, this is the mercy of the Lord, this new birth that we're given. You know, it's just an amazing thing. When you look at the mystery of it, and you look at the mystery of how what Jesus did for us through his death and resurrection, and how we're able to come into this new birth, it's just absolutely an amazing thing that is, to me, it's one of his greatest attributes of his mercy, is that we have that ability to come into that new birth and to be able to experience that and know that and walk in that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You know, and then we have this inheritance that doesn't perish or anything, doesn't fade. There's so many families that have been blown up over inheritances. Things haven't worked out for some families the way they thought it should, or people are entitled for things. And I've seen families fight over the most silly things, over inheritance, over the smallest of things. And families have been blown up because of fighting over inheritances. And so here we have this inheritance that it's there, kept in heaven for us. It's waiting for us. You know, it's never going to perish. It's never going to fade. It's never going to change. It's we have all that because of his great mercy. We have that new birth, you know, and it's absolutely amazing to me that we can be born again. You know, and so the next one is the new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 in NIV, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." And then it goes on to talk about the ministry of reconciliation, how we have that with the Lord. But if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And I'm just always amazed when I see, just looking at my own life and things that the way the Lord has changed my nature and the way he's changed things in me. But to be able to look at many of you in this room to see the transformation of who you were and now who you are in the Lord, it's just absolutely amazing. It's funny, isn't it, when we run into people that we were our friends with when we were in our old nature. it's really funny because after I got born again, I went to hang out with some friends of mine and watch a football game. And they were just, you know, the Lord had radically taken alcohol from me. I asked him to make it taste bad, and he did. And so I walked away from it. But it made my unsafe friends uncomfortable. So while we were watching the football game, they put all their empty beer cans by where I was sitting so they felt a little bit better. Yeah, you know, but it's funny how people have to respond to the new nature in you. They have to respond to the new creation that you are. They have to respond to the new birth in you. They have to respond to it. And we can't always control their response. We just have to be able to be who we are in Christ and walk it out and let them respond to it. You know, and then there's times when because of who we are, because of who you are and how you walk it out, others will come to the Lord because they watch it in you. Because all of a sudden they say, you know what, I want that. I don't know how you got that, and I don't know how you are, who you are now, but I want that. And that's the greatest compliment that we could ever get if somebody comes to the Lord because they watch your life, and they watch it, and they want to be able to have what you have. And the next thing is a new heart and a new spirit to the house of Israel. In Ezekiel 36:26, in the NIV says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." This is my prop that fell, that rocked the stage here. In 2007, Nancy and I went to Israel, and just like to bring this out every once in a while. But this is like a perfectly shaped heart. I was collecting rocks shaped like hearts the whole trip. And this was towards the end of the trip, a couple days before we were leaving, the 3 weeks we were there. And this was in the Mediterranean, and the tide was back. And so I took a picture of it while I was still sitting in the water, and I battled the water, and I went and picked it up. And when I picked it up, I heard Ezekiel. And so I felt like the Lord led me to this verse. He says, "For I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone." So here he was talking about Israel in this passage. And we're in Israel, and I get an actual nice heart of stone. I was really hoping that they would let me take this on the plane. I was really thinking with all the rocks I had, they were going to think I was an archaeologist or something. But we managed to get through security and get all our stuff home. But it was interesting. "So I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." You know, there's many times when you encounter people who have a hard heart. And when you have a hard heart, you're not willing to compromise. You're not willing to move into things. You're not willing to cooperate. You know, it's just a thing where you're kind of immovable. You're in that place. So a heart of flesh is where it's real pliable, where you're movable, where the Lord can speak to you. So it's being able to have a new heart and a new spirit within us. Then also, God is a God of justice. In Zephaniah 3:5, he says, morning by morning, he dispenses his justice. And every new day, he does not fail. So the Lord does not fail us. Yeah, stuff of life happens, but you know, the Lord does not fail. And one of the greatest things that we could do is say, God, you're good. No matter what happens, that God is good. You know, even if we feel like something good isn't happening to us right now, but the Lord doesn't fail. He doesn't fail us, and he doesn't fail. His ways are his ways. I love that verse where it says, his ways are not our ways, and our ways are not his ways. And he meant that purposefully so that we can't really figure out everything. You know, there's many of us, I think, in this room that we all want to try to figure everything out, right? We want to know what God's doing and why he's doing what he's up to. But there's times that we just really need to trust him. You know, and even if he's a God of justice, he does not fail. And there's times when it's really hard when you feel like someone's wronged you, or you're in a situation where there's a lot of injustice, maybe in a job or in a relationship or something, and you're like, you're really wanting to defend yourself. And you really have to appeal to the God of justice to let him fight for you. And there's times when the Lord has had to let me, I had to let him fight for me. And there's times when I would say, Lord, can I do this now? Can I write this letter, or can I do this now? Can I address this situation now? And he would just say, I am the Lord who fights for you. I am the God of justice. I will avenge this. And that's the hardest discipline to do, is to rest in the Lord's justice for you, because we always want a lot quicker justice. And sometimes, but we would miss the lessons that he's wanting to teach us about what's in our heart and what's up in our lives if it was a quick fix at times. If it was a quick fix, we would miss out on the whole lesson along the way. It's being able to really trust the Lord. And I had a situation where I had to really trust the Lord, and it ended up going for months. But when it got resolved, and it got resolved the Lord's way, I just said, man, Lord, you are so smart, and you are so good, because if I would have wanted my way earlier, I'd have messed it all up. Yeah. So I had to wait on the Lord, which is, you know, one of the hardest disciplines to do. I had to wait on him, wait on his timing, and the way that he chose to work it out. And I would have never chose that way. I would have never chose the way that he chose to work it out. But it was so sovereign, and it was so amazing when he did work it out. Then there's the new covenant. So another part of his nature is the new covenant. In Luke 22:20, it says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. You know, the amazing thing about that, the Last Supper, when the Lord did that, you know, the disciples, they prepared for the normal Passover. They prepared for the Seder that they probably did their whole lives. But then here, Jesus brought himself into it. You know, he put himself right into it. And he says, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. You know, do this in remembrance of me. And so I would have liked to have seen an editorial on all of them, what they were thinking in that moment, because he brought himself into it, and he changed everything. From that point on, it was the new covenant, and he tells us to do that in remembrance of him as we take communion. And then the next thing is the new attitude and a new self. In Ephesians 4:22-24 in the NIV, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Out with the old, in with the new, right? Mind renewal, our old nature, you know, it says, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You know, we're in a spiritual battle with the enemy, and he wants us to hang on to that old self. He wants us to have those old characteristics. He wants to bring all that old stuff back. And there's times when people will judge us, or people will come at us, and they tell us that it's like we're still the old person. And we're like, no, I'm not like that anymore. You know, and so there's this constant battle over that. But it's to be made new in the attitude of your minds, you know, to be able to have mind renewal, to be able to look at things from a different perspective, and to put on our new self. You know, it says we have the mind of Christ, to be able to look at things from a different perspective, to think of things from God's perspective, to look at everything from his perspective is the ability that we have because of who we are in him, to be able to look at things from his perspective. You know, what would the Lord think of that? What would he do with that? So it's just, it's an amazing thing to be able to live in that underneath the Lord's, his whole new thing that he does, his characteristics and the whole way that his nature is to be new, to have things new, that we benefit from that because of who he is and what he wants for us. You know, it's an interesting journey that we have. And so then there's the new command. Another part of his nature is he says the new command in John 13:34. It says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And how do we love and how well do we love? And I tell you, church splits and all the stuff in the body of Christ, and when we when we don't represent the Lord's love as the body of Christ, it breaks my heart. And there's times when you hear stories of unbelievers going to churches. Maybe they're not dressed right or they don't have the best clothes, but it's the best they have. And some elder stops them at the door and says, "You're not welcome here." I hate all those stories and all that stuff, you know. And I had a friend of mine. His mom came to our church a few times, and I was pastoring a smaller church years back. And her name was Phyllis, and she was on her deathbed. And this friend of mine, he had several sisters, and they were all like in this screaming, out of control place. Mom was dying, and he cleared them all out, and he wanted me to have a few minutes with his mom. And before that happened, I had talked to his dad for a while. And his dad talked about how he was never going to step foot in a church again because when his mother was dying on her deathbed, the elders of the church came in and she signed over the house and all her belongings to the church, and her kids got none of it. And so he had this bitterness in his heart all this life, and I'm thinking, oh man, what am I going to do here? And so I get time alone with his wife, just a few minutes, and the only way of communication she had was through the blinking of eyes, and I led her to the Lord through the blinking of eyes. And then when I said, "If you have accepted the Lord into your heart and you're born again," I said, "blink three times." And when she did, tears ran down her face. And the family came back in, and 5 minutes later, she was gone. And it's one of those sneak right in there. But then her husband asked me to do the funeral, but he's the one who had this ought against the church, right? And I'm like, "Okay, Lord, you're going to have to help me here." I said, "I'll only do it on one condition." I said, "If I can share what just happened back in that room." Because I had to assure him I was having time alone, and I know what his son wanted me to do was lead her to the Lord. But I said, I had to assure him I'm not having her sign anything. She's not signing anything over to me. But he lived his whole life with that grievance against the church. He lived his whole life that way. And so I explained to him what had happened, and he thanked me for doing that, and he said, "No, you can share that." And it was from that point on that his daughter-in-law tells me later that his heart did soften. Eventually, he passed away, and I believe that he was a believer at that point. Don't really know for sure, but it's one of those things that you have to do, you know. And it's, you know, how do we love? Do we love well? And as Christians and as the church, how do we... do people want to become Christians by observing how we love one another? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. And I think I told the story before, but it fits right in here, and I'll tell it. It was just one of those times I was around the house or something, just listening to Focus on the Family back when Dr. Dobson was still part of it. And he was interviewing a man who had lived a homosexual lifestyle his whole life practically, and he was on his deathbed. And he was telling a story of how he became a Christian. And he was saying about a year before he died, before he was ready to die, he got full-blown AIDS. And there was a Christian couple. This was in New York. And they had felt led of the Lord to open up a little bodega store with coffee and sandwiches and newspapers and all this stuff, like a little bit of everything, right in the middle of a heavy homosexual area. And they felt like that was their ministry. And they noticed that he was missing for a while. And so they began to ask some of the other friends about him. So they found out where he lived, and they began to visit him. And the woman began to clean his house, bring in food. And the man began to administer his medicine and stuff and began to bathe him. And that man did that for 6 months before he ever mentioned the word Jesus. So this guy, he's telling the story. He said, you know, he says, so many people want to shove Jesus down your throat. He said, but they never mentioned Jesus. They just loved me how Jesus would love me. Because I know that Jesus would have healed my wounds, and he would have bathed me like this guy did, and he would have fed me like his wife did. And he said, and he was the one who brought it up. He said, after 6 months, he said, you know, you guys have loved me like Jesus would have loved me if he was on the earth. And he said, and I want to become a Christian because I've never seen anybody love like you love. And so that, to me, that's a high standard to reach, you know, to be able to do that. But there was a call on their life, you know, and to hear him say that. And I believe that when they had the recording, they said just a few days after that he had passed away. But he said that he became a Christian because of the way that they loved, you know. So a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. So they're going to know that you're a Jesus follower by the way that you love. That's the evidence that can convict you by the way that we love one another. There's some interesting ones. I'm just going to take a quick journey through Revelation about the things of the new. In Revelation 2:17, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. I just find such strength in that the Lord's got a name for us. You know, like you're walking through the mall or something, somebody says, Stan, you know, and that's your name, you turn around. But this is going to be a name that known only to you. And when you hear that name, you know it's only the Lord calling you because that's the name that he has for you. How awesome is that? You know, many of us have had journeys of horrible nicknames or names. Names really can hurt. So many of us have had to go through healing because of ridiculous names that people have tried to put on us. And to be able to have a name that only the Lord has for us, I can't wait. I want to know what that name is. I want to know it. And then Revelations 3 also, in 12 and 13, it says, him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. You can spend a lot of time on that one. So he will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And also in Revelation 5, 9, and 10, it says, and they sang a new song, right? And I love this. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. You know, we read this with words, but this is actually a song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. With your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. It's a new song. It's a top one on the charts, right? Then Revelation 21, 1 through 2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first time, the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. You know, and that's, I love to read that. A new heaven and a new earth, and the old had passed away, and the new Jerusalem. It's amazing. Then in Revelation 21:5, he says, he who's seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making everything new. I'm making everything new. So I read this part in Revelation because it's at the end of our Bible. It's a culmination of things. But yet, so it's still the new thing is such a part of God's nature that he wants to do. You know, if you just, if you would really this year just study the word new, and all the different aspects of it, it just that you just begin to see how it's such a part of his nature. It's such a part of who he is. You know, the old is gone, the new has come, and it's such a brilliant and beautiful part. So remember the definition of new at the beginning that I liked: to be refreshed in spirit and health, to be a new man. The last. The new one I want to go to is faith. And in Hebrews 10, 19 through 22, in the NIV, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and a full assurance of faith." So also, I believe that the Lord is wanting us to be refreshed in spirit and health this year, you know, and to be a new man. But I feel like there's something that he wants to do to renew our faith. And I have a prophetic word I want to read. The other day, the Watchman, if you're ever free on Thursdays between 12 to 2 and you just want to kind of come in war and agree with us in prayer, we go for it from 12 to 2. And we're in here, and sometimes we have Cheryl Reese playing in the background, just keys. We'll have different topics, so we come up to the microphone and pray. And this week, I felt like we kept the theme of praying for breakthrough. So we were praying for different various aspects of breakthrough. We were praying for health and healing. We were praying for family. We were praying for pastors and church leaders and unity for breakthrough in the region. We were praying all these things. We were in the family section when I felt like the Lord was given... giving me a prophetic word, so I read it, and I want to declare it today, and I felt like this is something that's for us moving forward into this next season. I heard the Lord say, "A time is coming, and a time is upon you. It is a time of great faith. My children will activate and walk in greater faith than in times past. It is a faith to believe your prayer is answered the second it is uttered. It is a faith that walks on the water of life without wavering. It is a faith to believe me for the big thing, the amazing thing, the impossible thing. The time is upon you that you longed for so many years. For years you said, 'I want faith like that.' Behold, that time is upon you. It is on you. That season is here. What are you praying for? What are you believing for? What are you contending for? That list, you know your list, the list of things that you said in your heart that will never happen. Lay that list on the altar, for the time of great faith is upon you. Believe it, because I said it. Believe me for greater things than you ever thought possible. Come up here. Come up higher. Get here. Come to the secret place where I dwell. Faith resides where I am. Won't you come where I am?" Then he gave me an acronym for faith. This one kind of messed us all up, the Watchman. The acronym for faith is fully and intentionally tasting heaven. That's what faith is, to fully and intentionally tasting heaven. It's upon you. The time of faith is on you. Ask of me. Ask of me. The door of favor is open to you. The time of access is open to you. The time of access is resting on you. The season of settling is over. Look past your settlement and look to me. Faith is rising. Look to me. Ask of me. Press in, intercessors. Lean into me. Let faith awaken a deep part of your heart that has not been awakened before. Faith is upon you. Ask, intercessors. Ask of me. Won't you ask? This time of faith that is upon you brings an alignment into your life. Come, intercessors. Let this time of faith that is upon you awaken you to dream big. Don't settle. Embrace a time of faith. It's on you all. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. I just want to encourage you today, as I close this out, I want us to come and have a time of prayer. This I get stirred every time I read this. I've been reading this. We got this last Thursday, and I've been reading it 2-3 times a day and just really praying into that. And the Lord's been showing me things in my own life that I've been contending for and things that I've just settled for. I'm writing a list of things I've settled for, and I'm just laying that on the altar. So I just want to encourage you today, if there's a list in your heart, the things that you've settled for, and you want to walk in this great faith, and you want to, and this is the year that you look at the amazing thing, the impossible thing, and you believe God for the big thing. You know, I just want you to come on up for prayer, and then we'll just agree with you in prayer. You know, fully and intentionally tasting heaven. You know, this is, I just believe that this is a time for us to really come together to believe God for the big things. You know, many have been contending for healing for years, for provision, for family members to become Christians. There's, we all have a list in our hearts of things that we're contending for. But I feel like this is an opportunity that's before us for the Lord to really engage us in that place of faith, to really believe him for those great things, to believe him, to lay that list down. Man, that really got me between the eyes. That list, you know your list, the list of things that you set in your heart that will never happen. You know, I've heard people say, well, that person's never going to become a Christian, or that boss is never going to soften, or that relationship's never going to flourish. People have said the never things with so many things. And this is where God wants us to lay that list on the altar of things that we said will never happen. And maybe 2017 is a year of great faith that is upon you, that big things are going to happen in your life, because we're going to enter into that place. He said, the door of favor is open for you. So I just want you to come up for prayer, and we'll just agree with you for the things that you're believing for this year. And if and I'd love to pray with you. And if you want to lay things down at the altar of your list of things that you said in your heart will never happen, and the prayer is open. So, Lord, I just thank you for the breakthrough of faith that you have for us, Lord, that the time of favor is upon us, God. We thank you, Lord, for what you want to do in our lives, Lord. We thank you for the big thing that you want done in our lives, Lord, the amazing thing, the impossible thing. For you are a big God. You are a big God, Lord. You do big things. We thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you would come in a powerful way, Lord. For those in our list that are people who need salvation, God, we ask for salvation to come to our houses, God. Salvation to come to our bloodlines. Salvation to come to our families, God. Our workplaces, Lord. Touch our bosses, God. Touch people in our lives that need you, Lord. Father, those who are in our lives who are in need of healing, God, this is the year, Lord, would you come with your healing, Lord? We believe you for the impossible thing, Lord. We don't have to settle for a life of illness any longer, God. We can come in the fullness of your healing touch upon us, Lord. So this year, Lord, we say yes to your healing touch upon all those in our lives who are in desperate need of your healing, God. We say yes, Lord. You are the God of the impossible thing. We just bless you, God. We thank you, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord. We believe you, Lord, for the big thing. Expand our faith, Lord, to believe you for greater things, Lord. Lord, I want to see people walk out of wheelchairs, Lord. I want to see the dead raised, God. I want to see it with my eyes. I want to see it. Someone who was dead walk again. I want to see it, God. Been believing for that for years, God. I want to see it. So, Lord, we're asking for the big things, Lord. Would you come? We say, yes, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for this day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Have your way in our lives this day and this entire year, Lord. It's wide open, Lord, for this year, for you to do all that it is that you want to do in our lives this year. We give you thanks and praise. Give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.